This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana. Thanks for joining us. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and the signature sponsor is the Mayor's Office of East Baton Rouge Parish. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org, and we start with Piper Hutchinson, reporter who covers the education beat for the Louisiana Illuminator, and she is the person who is covering higher education with more earnest than anybody in the state right now. And among all the flurry of activity at the Capitol, Governor Landry vetoed a bill seeking to expand access to public employee records. Now, this bill was filed by Republican Dixon McMakin of Baton Rouge. It aimed to clarify state public records law as it relates to personnel records of public employees, which are commonly withheld from public view. McMakin filed the proposal, as Piper's story reads, to make it easier to access records related to employee misconduct. And this is related to his days at LSU, isn't it?
So, yes, Representative McMakin, he was involved in seeking some records related to an investigation into a former LSU Greek Life official who was accused of setting up fake social media profiles to catfish fraternity recruits and entrap them in committing crimes. This was, you know, a pretty big story on campus when it came out, especially since this person was able to go on and seek other employment in Greek life at another university. And McMakin wanted to make it easier for people to access records like these.
Well, the case is a 2022 court case, McMakin versus LSU, and has been used as a reason, right? Maybe the sole reason for not providing information?
I've got quite a few records rejections from LSU citing McMakin v. LSU. And, you know, McMakin didn't like that very much. He doesn't like his name being used to reject records. And that was part of his reason to bring the law as well.
So he files a bill, and I think it passed the legislature rather convincingly.
Oh, yeah. Very short discussions and very high vote thresholds.
And did the governor give a reason why he did not like the bill?
Yes. So the governor stated that the provision that you cannot solely cite court cases, you know, he had a problem with that. He wants to continue to work with Representative McMakin on the bill in the future. So we may see another version of the bill brought back next year.
Well, we'll see. But it is interesting that that was a veto of a bill from a fellow Republican who has been supportive of the governor.
Yes. You know, but the governor did sign another of McMakin's bill related to public records that it allows student journalists to receive records from their own universities without cost. You know, the governor did sign that bill, so it seems like he has some willingness to work with his allies on public records bills, at least.
And another story is that our friend Kevin Cope at LSU, he's no longer the faculty senate president, but as we know, he's quite loquacious when it comes to something that he finds objectionable, and he doesn't like it when tenured professors are taken out of the classroom. And that happened years ago, and they put King Alexander on censure for years. He was on censure when he left LSU, and now there is a situation that involves President Tate. A tenured LSU Shreveport professor was fired for, quote, disruptive behavior. What did this professor do?
So there were 13 charges brought against Dr. Salvatore, most of which centered on his speech. The provost of LSU Shreveport said that the problem really wasn't his protected speech, but that his speech disrupted faculty governance. And faculty governance, as you said, you mentioned the Faculty Senate, it's a branch of shared governance that oversees the academic issues at a university. Faculty are very invested in this branch of shared governance, but many of them don't think that the university respects it. So, you know, professors I've talked to think it's almost laughable that a faculty senator could have disrupted shared governance so much that it interrupted the functioning of a university, but that was their stated reason.
This involves speech, and speech, as we know, is essential on college campuses. How has Dr. Salvatore responded to this?
Well, Dr. Salvatore has filed a federal lawsuit that he is continuing against the university.
And we'll see where that goes, but you note that at the hearing, LSU Shreveport Provost Helen Taylor said Salvatore's speech affected the efficiency of the university by disrupting faculty senate meetings. She says this isn't about free speech, it's about the disruption of shared governance. Was it really, based on your information, just all out of control situation, or is this perhaps related to Salvatore being an outspoken environmental advocate?
Well, you know, the issue with the Faculty Senate was his reminders related to their noncompliance with open meetings law, which is an important sunshine law that protects the public's right to know. Noncompliance with open meetings law is a big issue across faculty senates, so it's not surprising this came up. But a lot of the charges against Salvatore were unrelated to this issue and were related, as you say, to his outspoken views on environmental issues in Northwest Louisiana, related primarily to these, you know, open burn pits that were largely affecting Black communities in Northwest Louisiana.
I remember a few years ago, our colleague Bob Mann said, I have tenure, but it's Louisiana tenure, and professors of all kinds don't like it when other professors lose their gigs. Tenure is usually your union card. You're there for life unless something really, really bad happens. And I guess the question is whether this is really, really bad. Does it rise to the level of taking this man's union card away from him?
Many people say no. You know, Dr. Cope said it would be possible for a third censure to be brought against LSU, which would be basically unprecedented.
Well, and William Tate has, he has gotten some criticism, not only from Bob Mann, but from others, because there are some people on campus who don't believe he's standing up for his people. And that's not a good situation if you're the leader of the pack.
Certainly, you know, a lot of very conservative people are free speech absolutists and have, you know, a lot of concerns with how this case has been handled.
And you also have a story of a few days ago that non-tenured Tulane faculty, this is, of course, a private university, not a public one, have voted overwhelmingly to unionize. What does this mean on Willow Street in the great city of New Orleans?
You know, these faculty members, they're contingent faculty, you know, they don't have tenure, so they feel they're very much underpaid, and they see this as their only avenue to address their employment grievances. I spoke to one professor who makes $45,000 a year, which is not a lot to support a family on in New Orleans. And it's kind of shocking for, you know, a university professor who has a PhD in a very high cost of living city.
And a university that charges huge amounts for tuition, too.
Huge amounts.
$45,000. That is surprising.
It is. And this professor has levied, an unfair labor practice charge against the university because they contend he was not given a promised promotion because of his union advocacy. So Tulane is going to be in a bit of a thick of it for a little while until this all sorts out.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Holly in the Garden District, getting back to the original discussion, says, how much of your work is dependent upon access to public records?
Well, quite a bit. You know, a lot of government entities, including in higher ed, they are not very willing to answer my questions all the time. So sometimes the only avenue I have is to seek these public records. And I have to wait a long time for them, but when I get them, it informs my reporting, which I think serves the public interest.
And I remember Billy Nungesser not so long ago on this show said he backed the governor because the governor asked for his consent on a bill to shield public records. But then Billy Nungesser said, if anybody wants something from my office, they can have it. Should it be done on the honor system, or do we need laws to make sure that journalists and the public at large has the ability to see records that, as Bob Mann, the aforementioned professor, says, they're not the state's records, they're our records.
Well, we often can't get, these agencies to follow the laws that we have on the books for public records, so I would hate to see what they do with no laws on the books.
It looks like a recipe for disaster, but there are others who say that these reporters snoop around in places they shouldn't. So I don't know that you're trying to stir trouble, you're trying to get information. I would think that's the case.
I don't stir up trouble for the sake of it.
Well, as John Lewis said, sometimes stirring up trouble is good, as long as it's good trouble.
I might get in a bit of good trouble, Jim.
Well, I'm glad you're out there. And Piper Hutchinson is covering the education beat, particularly higher education, with great zeal for the Louisiana Illuminator. Thanks for coming in today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
And we will have Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner, who won a race without an opponent. He's here to talk about a crisis in the insurance industry in our great state after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Our number is 877-217-5757. And emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Robin Dow producing, and Tim Temple, the Louisiana Commissioner of Insurance, is here. He was elected without opposition last year after running a strong race 4 years earlier against Jim Donilon. Tim's a native of DeRidder. He's been in the insurance industry, but he's lived all over the state of Louisiana, former chair of the Louisiana Committee of 100 for Economic Development, and he is being portrayed as a pro-industry insurance commissioner, and to give him his due, he is trying to keep the industry from bolting our state, but at the same time, he has on some issues. He got a lot of his package through the legislature with the governor's signature. And on one big issue, House Bill 423, he lost. He got it through the legislature. Would have limited money that juries can award to those injured in crashes. But the governor vetoed this, and the governor has close ties. He is a lawyer to the trial lawyers. And he, on this one, decided to go with the trial lawyers rather than with the insurance aspect of this, and Tim Temple says this is one of the reasons why we have problems in our state and an insurance crisis. So how significant was this veto of House Bill 423 in your judgment?
Hey, good morning, Jim. This was a one of several bills that we had to address a crisis in our state. As I said early on and continue to say, you know, there was no one single bill that was going to fix this, but combined, these bills were designed to move Louisiana forward on insurance reform. And when I mean insurance reform, I want your listeners to understand this is about creating a competitive market that companies come back. You know, I hear as I travel the state constantly that, you know, I can get one, maybe two companies that want to quote my homeowners or my auto. We've got to get back where competition is driving, you know, this economy, this insurance economy. If we want lower premiums, we need competition. So this was a key component. It was not singular. It's not the fix-all. No one's ever said that, and you won't hear me ever say that because this is a complex issue, and we need a lot of reform. So 423 was important, and you know, I think that everybody agrees that we've got a crisis in the state. There's just some differences on how do we address it.
Well, the governor obviously said that he thought it was an overreach. And he did note that I think he said he got 7% of his campaign contributions from trial lawyers. So he said that wasn't the reason. But this group of people did support him, and the governor has shown loyalty to those who support him. Is there anything particularly sinister about that?
Well, look, everybody's got an opinion, and everybody gets to voice it in our democracy, and I support that. But I can tell you that what we're trying to do is address key issues that the industry has said these are drivers of expensive premiums in our state. Look, we have bad roads in our state. We have accidents that happen in our state. We have to have vehicles repaired in our state. We have to have medical cost paid for. But none of those are outliers in our state. What we're trying to do is identify where those outliers are. And when it comes to the basic insurance principle of to make you whole, Jim, and I think that's important that people need to understand. Insurance is about making you whole, not making you better. And in Louisiana, because of the collateral source and the way it's calculated and the way it's allowed, people come out better than they were before. And when someone gets more than what the, you know, than what the business model is built around, somebody has to carry that cost, that burden. And you and I, as ratepayers buying auto insurance, are carrying part of that burden.
Well, what was it about 423 that would have moved the state in what you believe is the right direction? Well,
I think one of the key components there was the transparency. And in Louisiana, when you litigate on an auto claim and you're injured, and look, I was looking at a statement that you get from your healthcare provider yesterday on a particular claim. And this was not related to an auto injury, but it's indicative of how this works. It was for a medical procedure someone received. They were billed $660 for a procedure. There was a discount of $510. So the insurer actually paid $150. Now, had that injury, had that treatment been necessitated due to an auto accident and you decided to litigate, your attorney would bring the $660 bill and ask for recovery of that. You weren't out that. The healthcare provider was not out that. That difference, that's what you get to collect. That's the excessive litigation funding that we're all paying for.
Well, the sponsor of the bill has stated he wants a special session, and you've said that's a good idea. Is that really a realistic prospect?
Well, look, you know, the reason that I ask the governor and the House and Senate leadership to consider a special session is because we need to get back and have these conversations in the legislative body. You know, the House passed a lot of these bills. A lot of the ones that originated in the House, they came out, they went over to the Senate. Many of these got stuck in Judiciary A, even with the support of a lot of senators over there. They didn't get out. They didn't have the opportunity to let the body vote on these things. And look, you know, I've said it before. I don't think that we can wait an entire year to address, you know, the auto crisis. Every day, people are getting that premium renewal. Every day, businesses are getting their renewal to pay for addition, you know, for more auto insurance. And I don't think we can wait another year. I don't know when a special session would be, you know, what the timing of that would be. But what I wanted to do is highlight is that we've got to continue to talk about this, and we've got to continue to work toward solutions to implement those sooner rather than later. Because, I'll ask your listeners to, you know, just remember this, you know, insurance change does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. You pass a bill today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow your insurance rates are going to go down. We've got to create that competitive environment, and that takes time, which is why I think we need to address these issues now, not a year from now.
How do we compare with other states?
Well, look, we're the most expensive state in America for insurance. In Louisiana, the average—
Now that includes auto insurance as well?
Auto insurance as well. Look, I mean, and you can argue whether we're number one or number two behind Florida, but they have different minimum limits than we do for auto insurance. And so if you do it on a pure apples-to-apples basis, I think that we're higher because we're paying more for less coverage. Mm-hmm. Homeowners, certainly the same. You know, look, and I've seen that we're number eight. I've seen we're number two. I've seen we're number one. At the end of the day, we're unaffordable, and I don't think anybody wants to argue that point. So, you know, my point was, in Louisiana, we spend more of our paycheck toward insurance expense than any other state in America. That's the fact. And we need to address this. And the property, we made some good reform. I think we can anticipate that we'll start to see changes there. But with regards to auto, the status quo is still the rule of the day.
Well, we do have road issues related to taxes or lack thereof, related to the environment. And we have a lot of uninsured drivers. Does that also contribute to our high cost of insurance?
Well, I mean, all of that contributes, but we have bad roads. Yeah, but other states have bad roads. What we don't have, a large number more accidents than other states do. If you look at the national averages, we have just a slight tick over with the national average of, you know, car wrecks per 100,000 per capita. Look, to repair your Ford F-150, it doesn't cost you that much more to repair it in Baton Rouge than it does in Houston, Texas, or Dallas, or Des Moines, Iowa, or Los Angeles, California. Those are factors too, but it's not that much more expensive. You know, we're looking at what are those drivers, and, you know, like it or don't like it, agree or disagree what the industry says, and we have to listen to them because they're the ones that we want mm-hmm. them to come and do business. They are identifying that excessive litigation, excessive judgments are a cost driver.
Matt in Mid-City, let's slide you in before the break. Matt, you're on the air with Commissioner Temple.
Morning. I hear a lot of speak about homeowners insurance and auto insurance. I live in a condo association here in Baton Rouge, 70-some-odd units, and our association insurance has gotten just ridiculously high. About half of our units are elderly couples or singles who are on fixed incomes, and right now 90% of our monthly dues go to insurance costs, and there seems to be no help in sight for the condo associations. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, we do have to take a break, Matt, but that's a good question, and we'll get Commissioner Temple to respond about the crisis on the property side, which is probably even more intense than anywhere else. We'll talk about it when we return after this. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Pleased to have you with us. And if you'd like to get in with Commissioner Tim Temple of Insurance, we will invite your participation at 877-217-5757. 877-217-5757. And before we hit the break, Matt in Mid-City asked about property insurance. And I think he's in a condo situation. It's going up for everybody. And there are reasons why, and what can be done to mitigate the problem we have here.
Well, yeah, Matt, and Matt's question there, you know, he was saying that he's in a condo and trying, I think, differentiate between homeowners and condo. But at the end of the day, you know, that condo is a property, and that association buys property insurance on it. And so, you know, that is, you know, part of the cost we're seeing going on, not just for individual homeowners, but also for commercial property. And, you know, that's part of what the property reform we're working on is designed to do, is to help bring more companies back that want to offer a quote, want to compete to offer a quote for that piece of, you know, that piece of property.
Paul Russo writes, profiting from the misfortunes of others might be a business, but insurance is not an industry. Well, there are a lot of people who make their living through this, whatever you want to call it. But at any rate, it is something that most people have to have. I mean, you're really rolling the dice if you don't have insurance.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the point is. Property, you know, insurance is not an industry. Okay, it's a business. I mean, you know, define it however you want. It is private industry. It is private business. And we need it in this state, just like all the other states need it. You know, there is no, you know, we have LWCC for workers' comp. We have for, you know, for companies that cannot obtain workers' comp anywhere else. We have Louisiana Citizens Property Insurance Company for those that cannot obtain a, you know, a property quote any other market. But beyond that, it's not a state-run entity. It's not a state-funded program. And so we need a healthy, competitive insurance environment in our state.
Bill Huey writes, why shouldn't you come out better when some dumb jerk, he says, who is texting while driving nearly kills you and puts you in the hospital or in treatment for weeks and months?
I don't really know what the question there is, but look, I know there's legislation that tries to address that every session, and it goes nowhere on preventing people from, you know, using their phones while driving. And I don't say, you know, holding the phone up, and as well as texting too. That distracted driving does cause accidents.
877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Commissioner Temple.
Good morning, gentlemen. Commissioner, your position to alleviate the casualty insurance crisis of Louisiana is deregulating. That's like rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. The Republican Party is dominated with lobbyists representing the fossil fuel industry. Scientifically proven, human-caused climate change will eventually destroy the nation and perhaps the world. And Donald Trump's, the nominee of your party, wants $1 billion from the fossil fuel industry.
All right. Well, David makes up some good points, but the insurance commissioner has very little to do with what you're talking about. But I think you would acknowledge that there are things beyond our control, Tim Temple, that are affecting insurance as well. And one of those is climate change.
Well, yeah, and if you want to look at the hurricanes, you know, there is evidence, recent evidence, right, that storms are intensifying more rapidly in a shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. What causes that? I don't know. That's not my position. I don't have any education in that background. All we can do is work with current and future forecast models. And, you know, insurance companies and reinsurance companies look at that. They make the best judgment they can. They're pretty accurate. Every now and again, their models are wrong. You know, as far as what's creating all that, that's not my business.
Well, you're an educated man, though, and we do have an issue. And I think that if we're hopeful that the climate's going to change, we're in for a rude awakening. What about the hurricane season? That's another thing. They're not really within our control, but it certainly will affect rates if we have some killer hurricanes in the next few months.
Well, look, you know, we're talking about the weather, this forecast. I think we've got 23, 24 forecast named storms. 11 of those are expected to become hurricanes. Five of those, up to five major hurricanes, and one or two have the forecast impact coastal U.S. somewhere, East Coast or perhaps the Gulf Coast. Again, I can't change that. You can't change that. Your listeners can't change that. The only thing I can do is pray for a mild hurricane season, and I certainly do that every single day. But again, what gets into that, that's not this office. Our job is to help work with the current industry using the models, the forecasting models that they have that they're made available to them and work through that process.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Billy Gibson writes, I've read the insurance industry in Texas and Florida are subsidized. Is that true? And what does that mean?
Again, what part of the industry are we talking about? Is this homeowners, auto, earthquake? I'm not aware of the subsidy is, being subsidized that he references. Florida does have a catastrophe reinsurance program that the insurance companies have to participate in. I don't know that that's subsidized by their state general fund or any other state money. I'd be interested to know some more information on that if that's what he's suggesting.
All right. Tim in Prairieville, he says that Commissioner Donilon, your predecessor, was on our show a few times. Actually, it was more than a few, and he always recommended getting flood insurance, even if you're not in a flood zone. Would you recommend that as well?
Yeah, look, I think that, like any insurance, I think I would recommend that you always buy as much as you can afford because it is a hedge against something bad happening. It does help mitigate your financial out-of-pocket. Flood insurance is certainly a key component of that. It has become, with risk rating 2.0, incredibly expensive. I know that the congressional delegation members are working hard to try and get to the bottom of that, what's driving that cost. But I would always recommend that if you can afford flood insurance, even if you're not in a flood, my home is not in a floodplain, but I do purchase it, and I would recommend everybody if they can.
And another listener notes that James Carville was on our show recently and said that he is no longer carrying property insurance. Now, Carville may have the resources to withstand the worst case scenario, but most people don't. I would not advise others to do that unless you are a multimillionaire.
Look, I think that's one of these things that you got to go in eyes wide open. And I certainly would not recommend that people go without insurance. But look, Jim, at the same time, I understand that people their budgets are as stretched and stressed as much as they probably ever have been, especially when we're talking about insurance, homeowners, auto, flood, healthcare. It is all incredibly expensive. And like I said at the beginning of the show, in Louisiana, we spend the largest percentage of our paycheck toward insurance costs than anybody else. And so I understand that people are having to make some bad decisions. And that's why we're working mm-hmm. and fighting to bring this market back so that the premiums have the opportunity to come down and people can keep more of that money in their pocket. But look, again, I don't want to tell anybody not to buy insurance. That's the worst thing that can happen is that you have an event, you lose your house, and you have no way to repair or rebuild.
And a listener notes that if we have the highest insurance rates in America, when you factor in the fact that we have, and part of this is related to cost of living, but we have probably one of the lowest levels of income, then the percentage is enormous. Our percentage has to be just off the chart.
Which is why we are the most expensive in the country. That's why, and when you know, the phrase is the most unaffordable, least affordable, if you want to say. And I had that stat on, you know, I used to have it on the top of my head, and I apologize to the listener for not knowing what that number is, but it's I'll get back to you with that percentage, but it is the highest in the country.
Would you advise, now I know this is a little bit out of your range, but it certainly is affected by insurance. Would you advise somebody in this state to buy property right now based on where we are?
Well, I mean, you know, there's always opportunities for people. I mean, you know, I love my state. I would encourage everybody to stay in our state and to move to our state if you don't live here. We've got a lot of great attributes in our state. Unfortunately, right now, the insurance component is a key decision maker for a lot of people. You know, we have outward migration being driven by a lot of different things, but I believe insurance is a major contributor to that. So, you know, again, my office, my position is to work to try and alleviate, to bring balance back to this industry so that insurance becomes affordable.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And I've noted that there's no bigger crisis in the offing than what's going on with our environment in Louisiana and how it's affecting us. And one of those areas is insurance. And Ryan makes a good point that maybe we should be talking about raising the homestead exemption rather than getting rid of it. Back in the day, you think about it, when it was a $75,000 homestead exemption covered most of the homes in the state. And that doesn't get you very far now. A $75,000 home doesn't get you in a nice neighborhood usually.
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to be anytime you talk about things that impact the budget, you get a lot of ears perked up, and you know that is not in my purview. Certainly would like to be part of that conversation if someone wants to bring up changing the homestead exemption.
Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Is there anything you can do about frivolous lawsuits? Like what I'd like to see done is lawyers that file frivolous lawsuits, that knowingly file frivolous lawsuits, they need to be punished. They need to be put out of business, take their law license away. What can we do about that?
And yeah, and I appreciate that. Look, you know, last week the governor was on a different radio program and mentioned that very factor that in Louisiana, you know, the Department of Insurance, I think he said, you know, previous commissioners, you know, had not been aggressive in investigating, you know, I think the phrase was, you know, lawsuit fraud. And that is something that we are looking at. It's something that when I came in office January 8th, one of the first meetings I had with my coworkers there was that let's start looking at, and not just litigation fraud, all fraud. Anything that's insurance related, we're gonna be more aggressive.
We'll be back after this. This is Jim Inkster. We're visiting with Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Your number, and there is still time to reach him, 877-217-5757. And we talked about per capita exposure to insurance rates. Louisiana with a low per capita income and a high insurance threshold. And Tim's got some statistics, Commissioner.
Yeah, I just wanted to just briefly here. So as I said, in Louisiana, this is 2020 numbers. The average auto premium was $1,495, which is 40% above the national average. That accounted for 2.93% of the median household income. Homeowners in 2020, the annual was $1,965, which is 3.84% of the median income. So 7% in 2020, 7% of the average homeowner's paycheck income went toward insurance. And that is the highest in the country. And we all know the numbers have gone up dramatically since then.
And that's probably just basic coverage too.
And that's, yes, I would say.
With deductibles.
There's deductibles in there as well.
All right. 877-217-5757. And that's something a listener earlier had sent me a note saying, when you're shopping for insurance, should you factor, I think it's a question that you, I think I know how you're going to answer, should you factor in the deductible? That's certainly an incentive, isn't it? It's like having a dividend on a stock.
It's a key component, and I think as most of your listeners know this, the higher the deductible that you assume, you know, the lower that makes that premium. But you got to look at that number too. You know, a lot of people just, they buy a bigger deductible, if you will, or they assume a bigger deductible because it gets them a lower premium. But then when they have that event, you know, the difference between your, you know, a 2% and a 5%, you know, that equates to thousands and thousands of dollars. So, you know, I always encourage people, sit down with your insurance agent, or if you go with a direct company, and walk through all of that. Do the math. Understand what that deductible percentage equates to in real dollars.
Jeff in Millerville. Jeff, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Commissioner Temple.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I have a question regarding the insurance company. I met this lady who worked for the insurance company, and she was stating that, I know the question you're going to ask me, why the insurance is so high. She said, it's not them. It's the people down in Letterstreet, people down in the state capital. Now, the question is, how are you going to deal with them people down in Letterstreet in the capital who have all the so-called power they want to do, and they dictate all our money here in Baton Rouge? Just like they do with our with these stickers on a car, and just get rid of all these inspection stickers on the car.
Well, Jeff, look, I can tell you that I've worked very well with the legislature this year on a lot of the reform. And as I mentioned earlier, we've gotten a lot of property reform done working with those legislators, working with, you know, with our state leadership to bring about the change that we all need. And we're going to continue to work with them. I think that all those men and women down there acknowledge that it's a problem. Just sometimes we have a little bit of difference of opinion on how do we get to the solution.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org in our remaining time with Commissioner Tim Temple. Let's go to Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Well, hi. Good morning, Jim, and good morning to you, sir. Sir, once again, hearing from our legislators and our elected officials that we should just pray about it is not going to work for the rest of us. If we're going to pray for something, maybe we should pray for these Louisiana voters to stop electing science-denying people that are more concerned with their own power and the profits of their campaign donors. But my question to you, sir, is, isn't what happened here recently with the deregulation the same thing that happened in Florida and multiple other Republican states? And to my knowledge and understanding, there has been little to no effect. In fact, the premiums continue to rise.
Right.
Well, look, let me lead with this. You know, what I said was that I focus on the things that I can control, and I work with legislators to do that. The things I cannot control, which is the number of storms we have, I pray about, and I would encourage people to continue to pray for that. But look, you want to talk about Florida? Let's talk about Florida. This year, they've had over 10 companies, because of the insurance reform that they did over the last 2 years, they've had 10 companies that are filing for rate decreases in their state, despite the current forecast, storm forecast. They've had another 15 plus companies that are taking not rate decreases, not rate increases, that are coming in flat for the first time in years. So reform does work.
877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on with Commissioner Temple.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, the policy is there to insure the auto loan. So insurance makes the bank whole, not the driver. So the loan is made whole, and then when you get in a wreck, the company decides whether your car is worth repairing or not.
All right. Well, it is a interesting process. Phil's obviously not happy with it, and many people are not. But do both the insurance industry and the legal industry, do they both share some responsibility for this?
Look, I think everybody shares some responsibility for this. I mean, we did not get in this crisis overnight. This has been decades in the making, and it's going to take some time to work through it. But look, you know, Jim, that's why on the property side, you know, I was encouraged because of the conversations that we had, the people at the table. You know, you may have heard me say it, or your listeners before, that, you know, when we were talking about this, we got the stakeholders at the table and we talked and agreed on what the problems were, and we came up with some of the solutions, and we were able to implement that on property reform. And look, that's what we're going to do with auto, with legal reform. We're going to get, you know, those stakeholders in the room at the table, working together to bring relief and balance back to the system in Louisiana.
877-217-5757. Amy in Lafayette. Amy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I just have one comment. Can somebody just talk clearly and quit falling back on political nonsense? This man, this morning, I have not heard one thing out of his mouth that wasn't a sidestep, a backstep, nothing of substance.
All right. Well, he is a politician, and he has to be elected, and he has to work with the legislature, but are you couching your words? By the way, I probably agree that you are to some extent, but I think on the whole we get the message. But Amy may have a point here. What do you think?
Well, I would encourage Amy to come to my office. Come sit down and let's talk face to face. I'd be happy to be. I think I'm pretty direct. I don't hear a lot of criticism that I am pulling my punches.
No,
if you will.
And I must say, to my knowledge, you're the only statewide elected official to this point who has, and I would say gently, it's not an overt attack, but you've criticized the governor, and that takes some brass.
Well, look, I've acknowledged that we have differences of opinion, but we all have to work together. You know, there is no one office that just can wave their magic wand. And, you know, look, I get it. If your listeners, if they don't hear the answer that they want to hear from a question that I get, I certainly respect that. But look, I think I'm pretty direct.
Well, where are we headed on this? Is this are we going to get some relief, or is it just going to go up, up and away, and we'll be talking about the same thing and perhaps even more intensely after you and I are long gone?
Well, look, I think people are always talking about the expense of insurance, but which is why it's important that we continually focus on doing what we can to bring balance. And again, if you know, if someone takes offense with me using the word balance, you know, that's so be it. But we have got to, you know, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, all these other states, their legislatures meet and they are tweaking their laws. They are constantly making their state more attractive for all kinds of business, but we're talking about insurance right now. So, but they're doing the same thing for insurance industry. They want those companies coming in. And if we aren't keeping pace, if we aren't doing the same thing every legislative session to continue to refine our regulations and our legislation to promote a healthy insurance industry, then yes, we're going to be in the same place we are, you know, 10 years down the road than we are today, unless we get after it and start making changes.
David in St. George, you'll be our final caller for Commissioner Temple. David, you're on.
Yes. I'd like to know if anybody has or is thinking about the attorneys that are suing and getting all this money to build these giant structures in Baton Rouge and get rich off of the insurance companies. It seems to me that they're bragging about how much money they're getting for people that are in accidents, and the people don't understand that's driving up the cost of insurance.
Well, it is true that lawyers at those levels, in fact, Lewis Unglesby said five of the top 14 advertising lawyers in the country are in Baton Rouge in New Orleans, that they do well, but so do many people in the insurance industry. And this is a capitalistic society. Is there anything sinister about being paid for good work?
Well, look, I can't dispute the numbers that you said Lewis quoted there. But look, that's allowed, right? I mean, you know, those they can promote and they can spend their profits, you know, however they want to spend it. But we do need to highlight and we do need to have conversations about excessive litigation, excessive mm-hmm. judgments, and who gets that and who gets to share mm-hmm. in that. And I think those conversations, they've started and they certainly will continue.
All right. And a listener says, maybe we should ban billboard advertising for trial lawyers. Can you imagine the pushback on that at the Capitol?
Well, you know, the state of Maine, a lot of people keep referencing Maine and how they have the lowest insurance rates in the country. They also don't allow billboard advertising. I don't think that that's what anybody's suggesting. At least I haven't seen that suggested yet. But that's, again, that's just picking one little slice. You got to take it all together.
It may be a big slice. We'll talk about the future visits with Commissioner Temple. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Stay safe. Stay tuned.